was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft and furled the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that great tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around, and around, and around, and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain, I'll be back again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. And there was the Highwayman. With Waylon Jennings and, we had all of them in there. Willie Nelson and who was the other one? I forget now. That's a hell of a song. That's a good Aryan song, man. That's a good Aryan song. We're at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, USA. 92088 is the zipper. And that old Box 65 been sitting there a long, long time. And, of course, how do you like that 88 we got on the end there? Yeah, that was Johnny Cash on there. Gee, how could I forget the Man in Black? Ooh, wow. Hey, we're at resist.com. You can download all these radio shows and all kinds of things. We're going to have all kinds of new things up there on that website as things get renovated. You know how that goes. And we're going to send out our catalog every 2 months, and it's going to be separate from the paper. And the paper is going to be 20 pages of straight articles, except a little advertisement there for the Doctor of All Truth. What's his name?
God.
He's here.
Yes.
You snuck into the studio.
Yes, me and Bandit.
It's Caldenberg, Doctor of All Truth.
Me and Bandit, the world's fattest coyote.
Yeah. Well, he's fat all right. He's half coyote.
Yeah, half German Shepherd, half coyote.
He's got that peak on his head, you know, you can tell. But, you know, I look at some wolves,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of pictures of wolves, and in the face he looks very wolfy.
Yeah, right.
Well,
you know, he's tall, too, because when you howl and stuff, I mean, he just can't stop howling. Dogs usually don't do that.
Well, we start howling or even get a certain kind of music going.
Oh, yeah.
And he howls his ass off.
Oh, howls at the moon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do, too, sometimes.
That's true. That's only when you drink.
I drink the right stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor of All Truth, what's happened to you this week, and what's cooking? The news is really hot, man.
Yeah. But which part? The moon or the presidential election? Yeah,
the full moon, man. Yeah. It's beautiful.
That's true. And you got Mars landing?
And look, that's the Aryans at work. You know, how many million miles is Mars?
I don't know. Well, about almost the same as, no, it's not the same as the sun, but it's pretty.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, to throw that old baseball out there and hit that globe that far out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can you imagine a nigger understanding this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Even, you know, half the white people don't even understand it. But I'll tell you what, that is Aryan genius.
Oh, yeah.
Aryan genius. We'll let a few gooks in there. They helped out a little bit, but it's primarily Aryan genius. And thanks to our Nazi friends in Germany.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Is one of them crashed because they got the matrix system screwed up because they were used to using the American system.
Yeah.
They're using the matrix system and they screwed their math up, and that's why one of them crashed.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah. It's just that they got screwed up on the formulas
because
they were switching back to different math systems.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But they haven't found a little booger yet that the first went down. Do you remember they sent a little one down?
Yeah. There's been quite a few of them crashing.
No, I mean just a week or so ago.
Oh, the English one?
Yeah. They sent a little one down and they were supposed to transmit back.
Yeah.
Well, hell, man, you don't know how. Those things could have gone down a hole that was 1,000 foot deep.
Yeah, that's they think that there was a crater there, and they think that if they may have been a little off, they may have whacked the crater, and it may just be sitting in the crater, and the radio waves can't get over, or maybe just hit the side of the crater, or hit a rock, or.
But if there are any, if they can get an idea where it's at, that bigger unit could probably motor on over.
Well, you think about that because they have no idea what the surface looks like, so they're just hoping that, you know, they're trying to hit flat plains and stuff, and they're just hoping there's no big rocks there, but, you know, they've never seen it, so they have no idea if there's a rock there or not. So.
Well, they were transmitting 3D.
Color
3D.
Yeah.
So they'll know what it looks like.
No, but I mean, when they originally went in, they went in blind because they had no idea which rock was where. Or,
Well, you think our ancestors came from there?
No.
Why not?
Because why would they?
Well, why wouldn't they?
Why would they?
I'll get Jewish on you.
Why would they?
Answer your question.
I'll ask a question. Two Jews arguing. Well, why would it?
But I'm more inclined to believe that our race came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that it didn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much difference between a Negro and a white man that there's something screwy here.
Oh, yeah, well, I believe that our race came from the gods, but you don't believe in gods.
How did they do? What do you mean? They created us and sent us down here?
Yeah.
Well, hell, you could say the same thing what I'm saying, nature or the cosmos.
Well, but the gods exist.
You think they sit up there with their fingers with clay and...
No.
No, okay. Well, that's all right. That's close enough for jazz. At least it's not Jewish Christianity.
That's true.
Yeah, right. And we don't claim we can raise people from the dead, do we?
No, I've been trying. I haven't been able to do that.
I used to know a gal I tried to
get. There was a girl when I was in Colorado in school was named Georgia Johnson. God, total foxy blonde. Her parents were charismatic Christians.
Yeah.
And I used to go to church just to get into her pants and stuff. You know,
didn't we all?
Yeah. And so
well, I was not the same.
I hope not. We had this session where they sit around and they talk about Jesus and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were talking about that, how the power of Jesus, they could raise the dead and like a dumb shit. I said, God, I'd like to go see that. There's a graveyard. Let's go out there and see it. And, you know, her parents ran the thing. And that's the last time I saw the girl. They wouldn't let me talk to her after that.
Well, that's what I used to do in Sunday school. I'd ask them, you know, I'd say, wait a minute, you know, and I'd say, you know, I'd ask them questions. They'd get mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of times they kicked me out of Sunday school.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you. And there's 100 holes in it, thousands of holes in Christianity that are big enough to drive a tank through.
Oh, yeah.
You know who asks it? It's little kids.
Yeah. Well, you know what gets me about the Christians? Have you ever noticed that almost every Christian is scared to death? You know why they're scared to death? Even though this is the more devoted they are, the more scared they are because they realize it's bullshit and they don't believe in it.
Yeah, that's probably it. Because if they really believed in it, they'd commit suicide.
Most Christians are atheists, if you really get down to it, because they're really terrified of death. You know, they talk
about... Well, here I am an atheist and I'm not afraid to die.
Yeah, because it was just like in the gym today, there were some Jesus freaks. Talking about, you know, they were old and they were talking about how they're going to die and that's just going to be the end of it and everything. And I'm thinking, well, here's some Christians.
Yeah.
And they're about ready and they're in their late 80s and they know they're going to die. They should be jubilant.
What?
They're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
But they were talking just like nothing, they're just going to die and that's it and they'll never see
that. You're right, because when I was a Christian, I thought more about death and worrying about death then when I stopped being a Christian,
yeah,
it seemed like it calmed me down.
Yeah.
I said, you know, well, I'm going to try to live as long as I can. When I die, it's lights out, and so what?
Yeah.
You take this more of a matter-of-fact thing,
yeah.
The fate, you know.
Yeah.
I like that word, fate, you know. I think it it works, and yeah, man, what else is going on?
Oh, I saw The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
You did. You beat me to it.
And that was an incredible movie. I love that. They had great lines in there, and plus the whole plot of the movie is that the dark armies are taking over and everything is falling apart, and what's going to save him? The Return of the King, a strong man on a horseback.
You're not going to come here on my show, our show, and tell me this was a racist movie.
Yes.
Well,
and the plot of it advocated dictatorship because they didn't say, let's all get together and vote these dark armies away. No, they didn't vote them away. They waited for the king to come, and the king came and united them and saved them.
You're not going to come here on this show and talk against democracy,
you
are you?
You bet. It was a wonderfully pro-dictatorship movie.
I'm going to call my buddy the Prez and tell him about you.
Well, I just thought that was funny. In times of crisis, they didn't turn to democracy. They turned to a strong man.
They always do.
Do. Because that's the only thing that works.
I mean, sure, of course. And you see, they're getting more dictatorial here all the time.
Yeah.
It's not the good, not a very strong dictator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you have a pussy dictator?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know why? They spread it all around. All these congressmen say, I didn't do it. He did it. No,
Well, democracy's a pussy dictatorship.
If it was just Bush.
Everybody passing the buck.
If it was just Bush,
yeah,
we'd be in big trouble, yeah. I'm afraid.
Well, you know, it's funny. If you compare the Lord of the Rings, the Return of the Kings, to what's going on now, you know, they looked to a strong leader. They got a strong leader. They raised an army, and it was against possible odds, but they beat the dark army. What we would do, we'd have an election, the politicians would come on, all the ogres and black demons would bribe the politicians, and they'd be politically correct, and they wouldn't want to offend the dark forces, so then the dark forces would elect their politicians, and they would come in democratically, and they wouldn't be an arrow shot or a sword swung or anything. They'd just take over through democracy.
Right.
You know?
Democratic.
Yeah.
Well, that was like Indira Gandhi when she was president of India. She called her rule guided democracy.
Oh, yes, guided democracy.
I always thought that was the funniest
thing. Well, that's what, you know, the
guided democracy.
Lenin called communism democratic centralization.
Yeah, right.
So that means that democracy was centralized in the hands of a few.
Yeah, right. Hey, there's another movie coming up big time.
What's this?
Troy.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
that looked real good to me.
Oh, there's a few of them. There's two of them about Alexander the Great. There's one of the Gates of Fire. It's about Thermopylae, you know when the Spartans held off the Persians. So actually, there's four really good ones.
Yeah.
Well, the one that Oliver Stone's doing about Alexander the Great, they're going to make him bisexual, though, which is going to be kind of, that's going to be the main thing of that he's a sissy.
Now, how in the hell can they go back? How many thousand years was it going?
Well, you know what they're doing?
They say, oh, the guy was bisexual. Mm-hmm. He might have said something like he liked his...
No. You know where they get it from? Is there was a Greek historian, his name was Arrian, and he wrote this wonderful thing about Alexander the Great because he loved him. Then a Roman historian, I forget what his name was, well, he really hated Alexander the Great because the Greeks were their enemies. So he wrote this real scathing history of Alexander the Great, and in there he said that he was a faggot, and he said that this guy was his life, and it was an attack on him. It was just like, you know, like the National Enquirer would attack you or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what they're doing now, because of political correctness, they say, oh, we need faggot heroes. Oh, look, this Roman historian who hated these Greeks say this Greek leader was a queer. So now it's a matter of fact.
Well, that's how screwed up history is.
Yeah.
Most of these books are written by people
who
just read newspaper articles.
Yeah.
And you know how bad the newspaper articles and all these hack reporters.
Yeah.
And they go in there and they find all these articles and they write a book.
Yeah.
Now, they call that history?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it'd be like somebody in this town writing a history of me.
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine what that would be like. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, that's right, because you know what's in the newspaper, how much bullshit's in the newspaper about us, and just imagine all the bullshit that we can't verify about what they wrote 2,000 years ago. The Roman history is basically written by the senators, and all the senators hated the empire, so naturally all the emperors would come out bad guys, you know.
Well, they could come out with me, they'd say I never existed.
Oh, yeah.
The paper here in town will hardly ever, is only maybe two articles in 20 years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, so I never lived.
Yeah. Well, same thing they do to Hitler now is one guy, hinted that Hitler may be a queer, and then, you know, there's whole books written about how Hitler was a queer.
Yeah.
And then that Hitler was a pedophile after his niece, and then blah, blah. You know, just whatever they say. I mean, one person says it, another person who hates you will say, hey, here's some shit we can attack him with. And then that becomes a fact after a while, because people keep quoting each other, liars keep quoting each other.
Right. And I'm truly offended, though, about one thing.
What?
And that is, now, this week they're arguing like hell because the Democrats are put out some stuff that Bush was like Hitler. And then the other side said, oh, no, we didn't do that. They're going back and forth fighting like mad. I'm saying, they're offending Hitler.
Oh, you're joking.
Can you compare Bush to Hitler? I mean, there is no comparison whatsoever, even in IQ.
Oh, yeah.
All those Nazi leaders were
a lot smarter.
Very high IQs. Mm-hmm. And they had all these PhDs and everything. That's what Rabbi Heyer was on the radio the other day. You know, that rat-faced Jew from the Simon Wiesenthal circus. And he said, oh, you got to understand about the Holocaust. All these guys that met to make this plan were PhDs and the top of science in the country. Well, he gives them, you know, backhanded support, really, in a sense. Oh, it was horrible. They were PhDs. Well, what did he want to say? He'd rather have them be homeless people coming together and decide to get rid of the Jews.
Well, that's what's funny is because a lot of times they'll go on a rampage against the Third Reich and they'll say, all these guys are idiots. You know, they say Goering wore makeup and he was a drag queen and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is if this is all true and all these guys were complete morons, so the Jews were defeated by a bunch of morons. What a bunch of morons they have to be if morons can kick their asses.
Absolutely.
You know?
You got it, Doctor. Well, let's go to the calls, Doc.
Sounds good.
Okay.
For you, Tom, don't give up the fight. But appreciate your spirit. You're an inspiration to everyone who listens.
Terrible Tommy, how's it going? Hey, I'm reading this book called Siege, and it's one of the most fascinating books I've ever read. Getting towards the end of it here, but I'm wondering, as a racialist, how should we view Charles Manson? Because James Mason in this book really has a lot of positive things to say about him. I didn't even know Charles Manson was a racialist. And if you can give some comment on Charles Manson and what he means to the racialist struggle and this universal order, that'd be great. Thanks, Bill, 88.
Well, old Charlie Manson. Well, anyhow, Siege is a really good book because it marks the departure, or at least the written departure, from the old conservative type, Nazi right wing type thing that even under Rockwell was that way. And then on the West Coast here it was that way. And then Joe Tomasi was the first to break the mold. And he took it out. They didn't even wear uniforms. They put on field jackets and
Long hair and a ponytail.
Long hair, ponytail, and they took up a leftist revolutionary type position on National Socialism.
Well, yeah, Tomasi used to, he got on his Harley, long hair, ponytail, like a regular bike, but he used to drive up to, like, construction sites and just talk to, like, regular working guys and stuff. He didn't do all the uniform and pamphlet googly shit. He didn't do a lot of that. And, well, like, once he had, like, 600 people marching downtown L.A.,
yeah,
they weren't, you know, uniform people. They were just regular working guys. And
I told a story too when they first came out with that the Holocaust, the movie back in the '70s.
Yeah,
he was the one that tossed a smoke grenade.
Oh yeah,
or some of his people did.
Yeah,
in the theater.
Yeah,
and they had to clear the theater out for a couple hours.
Yeah,
everybody standing out in the street, and on the side of the smoke bomb it said from your friendly local Nazis.
Yeah, friendly neighborhood Nazis.
Right, yeah, that was funny.
Well, you know where he got that? It was from Spider-Man, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but he's been friendly neighborhood Nazis.
Yeah. And then James Mason picked up on it after Joe Tomasi was assassinated, incidentally, by a right-wing conservative Nazi.
Yeah.
He was only about 16 years old, but, you know, that's that crap that met Kale indoctrinated these guys to be like Hollywood Nazis, and then got old Joe killed.
Yeah.
And so then
he was only like 24 when he got killed.
Very,
it's kind of surprising how young he was.
I met him and met him a few times. I met his wife, and then she was pregnant when I met her.
I think he had two kids, right?
Maybe. Yeah. I know there's one, and I think they're living back in the Midwest and Oklahoma or something.
Yeah, I was thinking Arkansas.
His family used to have a restaurant back there. So anyhow, Joe Tomasi was really sort of the Bob Matthews early on, you know.
He's buried in El Monte.
Yeah, and we do have the location of his grave for anyone who ever wants to visit, and you should visit, because we're getting quite a list of our people who are buried around California. Well, anyhow, so James Mason took it over and called it Universal Order, and he started to write. He didn't start out to write a book. These were his monthly booklets, you know.
Yeah, the newsletter.
Newsletter.
Well, Siege was a magazine or a little newsletter.
But it was very simple. It was stapled together and like that. But it was so good. He really turned me on. I know that. So I've got a whole... Well, I've got a whole file cabinet full of those around here someplace. But anyhow, he put it together, made this book. It's a real good book. But there was a time there when some of these guys got off on this Manson deal.
Yeah.
And I talked to him, and we'd joke around about it. Come on, you know, he's a con. He's always been a con.
Yeah.
And that putting that little swastika on his forehead was hype. And he gets a lot of attention. I think he even gets a lot of money sent to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, people got, it was like a cult built on the guy's own website.
Yeah, it is a cult, yeah.
Well, you know, like we went up to that Nicholas Schreck's house, Zenal Vey's house, when they made that movie, The Manson Files, remember that?
Right, yeah.
He was just going on and rambling and stuff, and after the film was over, they asked us what we thought of it, and, you know, just trying to be polite, you know, you just want to say the guy was completely out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, if you listen to
him. They were making points like, well, I think Charlie had a good point there, and you just kind of go, yeah, whatever the fuck he was trying to say, he had a good point.
I never could figure out the point.
He goes, the scorpion in the desert dances on the moon, and the moon touches the sun, are April flowers really showers?
But it's a shame, you know, that's where a lot of these pseudo-intellectuals they're just like that. Somebody says something. Oh, you know, sort of like back in the days when we had the, not the hippies, but the...
beatniks.
The beatniks. Yeah. You know, never go to beatnik...
I'm
showing my age here.
They'll be Gillis,
go in there and listen to their poetry.
Oh, yeah.
And then the people be sitting there drinking coffee.
Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Oh, my God. What wonderful insight. I'd say, what the fuck is he talking about, you know? So anyhow... just, you know, these are good guys, but we all have our little quirks. I've got mine. Of course, doctor's perfect.
I don't have any.
He said he's God, so he can't have a quirk. But anyhow, so I just sort of forgot about the Manson thing and let him go on with it. But now Mason, unfortunately...
He's a Jesus freak.
He got into being a Jesus freak after he got out of that jam in Colorado, and I haven't talked to him now for several years because he hasn't communicated.
No, he's not a racialist anymore, is what I understand.
I don't understand what happens to these people. How can they go from go 180 degrees overnight?
Yeah.
I mean, I have changed in my life. I started out pretty liberal when I was a little kid, gradually got conservative, got right wing, got racist, a lot like that. But I never went 180 out. Of course, I did on religion, but not on the rest. Well, anyhow, that's a story on the Manson boys. You know, that whole thing, he said he wanted to start a war between the whites and the blacks.
Yeah.
Well, hell, starting that war, I think he wanted both sides to kill each other off.
Well,
and then he would be left with his girls.
Exactly. That's what he called a helter-skelter, because he said that's what the message the Beatles were giving to him. And that what he was going to do is he's going to kill Sharon Tate and all these people in Roman Polanski, and he's going to kill all these people, blame it on the blacks, because he said, death to the piggies, because the niggers were always calling the white cops pigs.
Right.
And he was going to kill these rich white people, blame it on the blacks, the cops would go after the blacks would uprise, the blacks would kill the white people, and once the blacks took over, the blacks would be too stupid to run the thing, and then the Manson family would control the earth, because... the whites and the blacks would kill each other, and it'd just be Charles Manson and his girls. Well, that's what Helter Skelter was.
My dad used to tell me when I was a little boy, he said, just remember one thing, if the dog hadn't stopped the shit, he'd have caught the rabbit, too. Whenever you have about 15 things that all have to happen, it never happens that way.
Well, especially all this stuff was the Beatles' White Album was telling me. This is all the Beatles' White Album was communicating with Charlie. I guess if you drop an off acid and stuff, you know, you can hear anything.
Well, the Art Bell show last week, they had spent a whole show all night on these secret messages from the band.
Oh, the Beatles?
From the Beatles.
Yeah.
And the book, the guy had written a book.
Oh,
all that.
Yeah, about Paul.
And all these wild people were calling from all over the country, and, oh, I found this, and I found that. it was pretty insane, man.
Well, the Beatles were a lot like the Beatniks. They'd write a song, and, you know, like George Harrison, they ask him what his songs mean, he goes, it's just a song. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a bunch of words strung together.
Yeah.
People want to find words in these songs.
But they were sort of mischievous.
Yeah.
They sort of got the hype going and the cult mystique about it going, and they knew it was all bullshit.
Well, that was
and one of them was supposed to have been killed.
Oh yeah, that was John Lennon's sense of humor. John Lennon and Paul McCartney were fighting and stuff, and they weren't getting along at all. So he started putting all these messages in his record that Paul was really dead, and it was just some actor taking his place, just so it would cause a lot of shit to Paul, and John Lennon could sit him back and laugh at him. So that was just John Lennon's joke against Paul and the public. Because the public's so stupid, they'll believe anything.
You know who Manson reminds me of?
Who?
In that movie you just saw about the Return of the King? Or
the Gollum?
The little guy that follows them around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's who he reminds me of. Well, you know, I know several of these guys. They went up there to prison, and they'd sit there and listen to him jabber for an hour.
God, can you imagine having him next? Oh, yeah. Shrek and Zena LaVey, they went up there, and they were like, they saw the Night Stalker, too, that Richard Romero.
Yeah.
They were talking to God, talking to a prophet of God. Well, that's a lot of things. Both the Richard Romero and Charles Manson, John Wayne Gacy's were prophets of God and stuff.
You know, I was in his old cell.
Oh, man.
Manson and Ramirez.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when I was in jail up there.
Yeah, you were playing basketball with the Mendez brothers and that guy from Eight Is Enough, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And well, I was in there for 45 days, and Manson, you could see in the wall, he'd written a swastikas he carved out of the concrete and helter skelter
over
the top, but they tried to paint over it, but they couldn't cover it up. Yeah, and then Ramirez, he was weird. And then, of course, the brothers, Menendez brothers.
Yeah, you played with an Adam guy?
Yeah, he was in on drugs.
He
was only about 4'5". He was a real short little guy, you know?
Yeah.
But he was just a druggie, sort of like, what's that other actor, Downey Jr.?
Yeah,
they're always in trouble over drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
If it didn't have all these laws about drugs, they wouldn't be in jail. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, anyhow, well, I do think one thing. I think that probably Manson should be out of jail by now because he didn't do it.
No.
I mean, that's just like my deal with Portland, you know, that, I sent people up to do something. And like that, and of course the people he iced were bad people.
Oh, yeah,
I don't care whether he got Tate, what a bitch she was.
Yeah.
And Polanski too bad he didn't get Polanski.
Yeah. She was out before he molested that little girl.
Yeah, right, yeah.
This is from Arizona. We need more war in 2004. Our war, our white civil war in 2004. Take care of my general. General Metzger, keep up the good work.
Tom, this is Robert out here in Cheyenne. I just wanted to tell you thanks for the messages throughout the year. Every time I call up, there's a lot of good information. I always learn something. You're doing a hell of a job, buddy. So best wishes, happy new year to you and your family, and you take care, buddy. Looking forward to another good year.
Bye-bye. Could you please clarify once and for all to a lot of naive people that may be listening about stand or the position where the organized so-called outlaw white biker groups stand. I believe that they're unto themselves and for themselves. I mean, they are white to the point where you have to be white to be a member of their group, but that's it. They don't worry about, they're not concerned about the racial movement. We can't depend on them for help when shit hits the fan. And they're under the naive assumption that the white race is the majority still, not in this just in this country, but in the whole world, and that's bullshit. That's why they fight amongst white people, they fight other white groups, they fight white people in bars, they beat people up, and
Well, bikers are bikers, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I one time way back in the 70s tried to bring them some together, and Mike Brown tried to do it too.
Yeah.
The Iron Cross Motorcycle Club, and he was of course Rockwell's bodyguard when Rockwell would be out here on the West Coast. It was a losing deal. I mean, they got their thing, and I've always supported white bikers, but the problem is that there's so much of them into the methamphetamines and methamphetamines is the choice, cheap drug for young white people.
Yeah, colored people have crack, and the poor whites have meth.
And it burns their brains out. And I can't support anybody that's selling meth to these white kids. And but I'll tell you another thing: the Hell's Angels. I just read in the paper a couple of weeks ago that the Aryan Nations had to get together down in Arizona at some park, and I think I mentioned this, but the Hell's Angels had a meeting there a week before. Well, the press went out and interviewed the Hell's Angels, and they said, oh, well, these guys are bums, and da-da-da-da-da. And we let, what did they say, Jews and Mexicans into our outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, if that's true, they're no better than the mm-hmm. Mongols. And,
oh, yeah. You know, anybody that can sell meth, they'll let in.
Yeah, no. You got to put this out that we don't go out of our way to fight with motorcycle clubs. But, you know, in fact, when I ran for Congress back in 1980, and I had supported bikers for a long time, the general idea of bikers. And but when I went to run for Congress and I appealed to those guys, and some of them got money, mm-hmm. and they're professional guys, to support my candidacy for Congress, and you know what they said? Well, you don't have a chance to win, so we're going to back this other clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Claire Bergner, who was a total asshole,
yeah.
you know. And he probably hated bikers, mm-hmm. you know. But anyhow, so I began to lose my faith in that. But there are a lot of people biking now that, you know, outside these clubs. You know, I know BMW clubs and all this kind of stuff. Or is it BMW bikes? Yeah, they're a real good German bike. Anyhow, it's something like that. And they've got some good clubs. And they're almost, I think they're pretty much white.
Yeah.
But here again, I mean, if the Hell's Angels aren't going to draw the color line, well, who is?
Yeah.
And with the drugs, forget it. So anyhow, that's where I stand.
Yeah.
Do you stand that way?
Yeah, I think the Hell's Angels are, you know, like chess clubs are mostly white. You know, they may have some Asians, they're mostly white, but they're not a racial group.
Well, Don Musgrove, who was one of my good friends, who's been dead for many years now, he used to know all those guys, and what was that leader of the Hell's Angels for so long?
Sonny
Barger. Yeah. He knew all the backgrounds.
Yeah, he was in Carlsbad.
Well, he's got to be all screwed up.
Yeah,
because
he's somebody dope.
He was such a druggie back in the old days and everything.
Well, they were the ones in that Rolling Stone, San Francisco, Antimar, or whatever the concert was. And they had the Hell's Angels, the Rolling Stones hired the Hell's Angels to be the guards, you know, the bodyguards. Some nigger one jumped off upstage, and he was going to dance, and all these Hell's Angels jumped him in 19-10.
I remember that.
Yeah. That made it stink. It was San Francisco.
That was a big story.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, a big motorcycle club that's got charters and all that stuff, it's just like one of these big right-wing racial groups, you know, like National Alliance.
Well, they're like the Freemasons.
So they're in a sense, they're not much good in a revolutionary...
They're like the Freemasons, except they sell drugs to white children. That's the big difference.
However, individual bikers could be so effective, it's unbelievable, as independents.
Oh, yeah.
They could come together maybe for one operation, a half a dozen, and then they split and disappear. Oh, man. You know what I always said? With a sawed-off double-barrel shotgun on the front end of a bike?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're really cavalry, man.
Oh, yeah.
You could really tear some shit up, you know. And okay, well, we like bikes, and I used to ride a 48 Indian.
Oh, really?
1948 Indian
over
in Germany.
That's a good bike.
And then I rode a Horax, which was a German bike. But then about that time, the company commander said, there's so many of you assholes getting drunk and piling these things up, you're not going to have motorcycles anymore.
Yeah.
So that was the end of my motorcycle. Yeah. The only thing close to that, I had a Vespa motor scooter back in the 70s.
Yeah.
I like that little thing. Of course, a biker would laugh at you, you know. I remember when we had the big get-together in Oklahoma. We got a rice-burning motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got that in our history of war.
Yeah.
And we had machine guns.
Yeah.
And we machine gunned.
They're legal in Oklahoma.
We machine gunned that to rice burner, and it blew up the tank of gas. And we've had some good times, man.
I just want to know what your predictions are for 2004 and beyond. Thanks.
Well, you know what? I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't have much faith in this prediction. All I can tell you is that you can look at the, what was that when, I forget what the saying was, when you see the leaves falling from the trees, you know the fall is there or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyhow, the shit is going to get worse. I mean, I hate to be one of those naysayers, but all the chemistry is there for this country to just go down the tube. I mean, right now, old Bush is wanting to bring more and more poor, dumb Mexicans and others in here by the millions to do this work, all this work. Wait a minute, there's a guy's out of work all over, as far as I know, and they're laying people off. And so when you've got thousands and thousands coming in each week, and you've got thousands of jobs being shipped out, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, it don't take a genius to figure that out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this Pax Americana war thing we're in, I mean, it seems like it's just going to spread and spread and spread.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I can't give you much good news except worse is better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. However,
if you get your shit together, try.
Yeah, it gets a little depressing sometimes to say worse is better because you begin to think, how can it get any worse than this?
Yeah.
Well, it can get a hell of a lot worse than this and probably will have to get very bad because the people you talk to on the street, they bitch a little, but they're not ready for any kind of civil war or revolution.
Oh, no.
And if you run out there and try to get one going, they'll just shoot you down in the street.
Oh, yeah.
So anyhow, it's going to be a very interesting and nerve-stressing situation for the foreseeable future. And we don't know what the hell might happen at any moment. And so, but it's going to be exciting. I think this century is going to be much more exciting than the 20th century.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just going to be like the Return of the King, except we make a noble stand. We'll run out there and give them all their civil rights and throw our daughters at them.
You think so? Huh?
Yeah, I think it'll just be worse and worse and worse and worse.
Why you got to throw my daughter at them? My five daughters.
Double Tommy, this is Paul from North Carolina. Just wanted your opinion on something. Lately here, I've been developing this, I don't know, it could kind of seem like a pulpit or something. Anyhow, every time I see
leading our Boy Scouts,
a white girl and a nigger and some little piece of shit, racially mixed child, I get this really strong urge to kill all three of them. And I was just wondering if you thought that was a good thing or what.
I don't think there's anything unnatural about the urge. I mean, let's be honest. I know I get that urge all the time, but I'm not going to throw my life away onto a couple of three pieces of shit. I mean, if I got to throw my life away, I want it to be on something more important than that. This is a normal Aryan feeling.
You know what I find myself, too? A lot of times even... Not just white race mixing. Like if I see like a nigger with a gook woman, you know, sometimes that even, or a Mexican, I guess it's because it's the dark thing with the not so dark thing.
Right. Yeah.
I have to catch myself and say, oh, she's just a gook, so fuck it.
Yeah, right. So anyhow, don't feel guilty about that. And in fact, don't feel guilty, period. Guilt is a national sport and it's spread by your slave masters.
Your church.
And your church and your school and Hollywood. And you're supposed to feel guilty. You know, I see they're pleading for money for all the little darkies of Africa and the little Iranians and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they get millions and millions of dollars they give to them. Little old ladies give them the whole damn farm and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Stamp out guilt. It's one of the biggest problems our race has.
You know, I was today there's these old people talking and there was this little old lady. I talked to this guy about being in England. She said you went to England and she went to London and there was a huge demonstration against the racists. And she was all upset that there was racists in London. I was thinking, here's a stupid fucking lady that doesn't even know she's supporting the fucking commie. Who else would, you know, probably some reds demonstrating against the National Front or the British Nationalist Party or something.
Yeah.
But some stupid lady automatically goes to the press and stuff and will back up the fucking Bolsheviks over, you know, white people.
Well, that just shows how our enemies have done a good job.
Oh, yeah.
They've done a great job. And, of course, you got to understand that a large share of our race have always been that way.
Oh, yeah.
They were being manipulated either for bad or for good. Mm-hmm. And they'll always be manipulated because they don't.
Well, that's just the masses. That's why democracy is a farce, is because there's this whole notion that there's equality. There's not even equality among white people.
No.
There's not even equality among white races, because there's always somebody better than somebody else.
Even in the same family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, especially in the same family.
Right.
I mean, the genetics is a real crap game.
You know, sometimes, some of these families, they should have put the kid in a bucket of water and drown
him. Oh, they used to do that. These expose kids all the time. It's just, because Christianity, they stopped it. But, think of how much better if the white race would be, if all the fucking retards and idiots and stuff. You know, in the Roman Empire, there was no age limit. If you were 55 years old and you were really stupid, your dad had the right to kill you.
Well, I'll tell you what I like doing. Mm-hmm. After talking to a lot of people on the street, about half of them, I love adults to stick their head in a pail of water and drown them, you know?
I mean, especially in a different caste and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For a while there, until like Marcus Aurelius made it illegal, but anybody, if they wanted to, they'd kill any slave they want.
Yeah. Wow.
And, they'd have to, repay the owner if it was owned by somebody.
Gee, we got to get a time machine and move back there, man.
Or just bring the past to the future and mix it in with the computer age, and we'll have ourselves a working program.
Right. That sounds like that movie Paycheck.
Was it?
Yeah, I saw that Paycheck with, what's his name?
Ben Affleck,
yeah, and it's about a guy that develops a method of going into the future and seeing what's going to happen and making lots of money and all this kind of stuff. But then Affleck is a guy who hires out his
services,
expertise, and they have to take the memory from him to make sure during the time he's working on a project that he can't remember. Very interesting film. Very interesting.
I
think it was a lot better than one of those Matrix films.
Matrix really sucked.
Yeah.
Another one that's kind of similar to that is called The Butterfly Effect. And I don't know if you've read Ray Bradbury, right? Remember the Sound of Thunder? Remember when they had an election, and there was this real liberal guy going into this racist, and in the election, the racist was really losing bad. They had a time machine where they could go back to the dinosaur age, and they could hunt and stuff, but they said they had a guy who scouted it out and told them where to walk, and they had to walk right on the track, because if they accidentally went off and stepped on a butterfly, that butterfly would eat a snake, and the snake would have bit somebody and killed them, and prevented people to be born and change the whole history,
like
the butterfly effect. Well, eventually the guy went off the track and stepped on a butterfly, and they came back in time when they went back to the modern age. Instead of the Nazi losing in America, the Nazi was taken over, and all this stuff was German, so the English was kind of like an old German language and stuff.
Yeah.
So America was turning into a Nazi nation.
I never read that one.
That's a short story called Sound of Thunder.
I used to read him Bradbury by the dozens, but I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I read that in my eighth grade or so. Yeah, the Sound of Thunder.
Yeah.
The hunters that go back and hunt dinosaurs.
Cool. That reminds me of that Star Rover that we sell. We sell that Star Rover by Jack London about a guy who is able to be out of body.
Yeah.
He's in a straitjacket in prison, waiting to be executed. He's able to go back in time and any place he wants to go.
Yeah, see how the Aryans discovered fire.
Get that book. It's $20 here in the war.
Yeah.
It's a great book, and then when you get done reading it, send it to a POW.
Yeah.
Every POW should have a copy of Star Rover.
Well,
they should.
Tom, surprise, surprise, surprise. Guess what's going on in Kansas? I hear another case, Negroid sports star is in trouble for rape. Ooh, surprise, surprise, not. Well, I don't know. Have you heard much about this? I'll bet you a dollar and a pop that the lady was a white whore, probably a race trainer, But, it's like I'm trying to figure out how this keeps happening.
Well, that's like an oxymoron almost. Niggers and rape. I mean, come on. That's the name of the game of the niggers. They love to rape. And, of course, any white woman that allows herself to get close enough to a nigger to get raped has got a problem. Now, it's not too often that a nigger just jumps out of a tree on a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
There usually is some contact that they make. Now, or even if it's just a casual thing, hello, miss, and may I help you? Her liberal thing, and she gets close, she gets within reach, and he grabs her or throws her in a car or whatever. But in a lot of cases, it's more than that. They're dating the bastards and everything else, and then they cry because they get raped.
Oh, yeah, a lot of them, they'll go out drinking with them, party, and they'll think, he's just like a dark white guy, and
you can actually go to his house and nothing happened. You go to his house, this guy wants sex with a blowjob. Well, mainly they're into anal sex. They want anal sex a lot.
Hmm.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you, most of these white women that are getting raped and killed and everything else, there's more to it than just some nigger dropping out of a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like the Siegfried and Roy complex, you know? You get inside a cage and play with a wild animal long enough, and the odds are going to catch up with
you.
You see, now, the gal said, oh, well, I've had great relations with all these niggers, and they've never bothered me.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time where one too many relations, and that's it.
Well, speaking of dumb white people, it reminds me, you know, niggers, white women dating niggers, it seemed like the crocodile hunter feeding that crocodile with his white baby in his arm. Remember that that dumb shit just a couple days ago?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Some white people are just fucking stupid.
Yeah, well, he's a little loony anyhow.
Yeah, but, you know, it's your own kid. You got to fucking think about it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, you get into that Hollywood thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it gets carried
away. You can imagine the fucker slipped and dropped him. You know, the crocodile just goes gobble.
Of course, on the other hand, there's all these super libs immediately climb all over him, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the old days, people were, you know, on the frontier. They took a lot of risk with kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Indians all around shooting arrows at them, trying to burn their house down, everything else. So, it's sort of 6-1, half a dozen the other. He's a tough guy. He had a good hold on a kid. But he should have known that to do that, no matter how well he had it under control, that these people are going to go after him big time.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like most of these white women that are getting raped and murdered and everything, it's these black sports guys.
Oh, yeah.
The football players, the basketball players.
And their daddies are into sports.
And their daddies are into
sports. Built them up into gods.
Yeah. And I was listening to a woman who actually frequented different bars down in Florida where OJ still goes.
Yeah.
And she'd seen him several times, and she says they'll talk real crappy about him when he's not there. But when he comes in, they treat him like a king.
Just like the way they treat you.
They fawn all over him. Yeah. Well, not quite how they treat me. But I must admit, most places I go, they treat me pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they're afraid I'll kill them. And I don't give a shit what they're saying when I'm not there, because that just proves they're a bunch of cowards anyhow. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, I told you that joke about the Metzger joke they had going around a few years ago. What do you get when you cross a Mexican and a nigger?
What?
A Metzger.
Oh,
that's a local folk joke.
That's a shitty joke.
Well, it's kind of funny because it's supposed to be an anti-
a Mexican and a nigger?
Yeah, Metzger. You know, it's kind of funny. It's supposed to be an anti-racist joke.
I never heard that joke.
Because nobody tells it to your face. I had about 5 or 6 people tell
me
that.
They're afraid to tell me to?
Yeah.
Well, they should be afraid to tell
me. Well, you know, it's funny. It's usually supposed to be an anti-racist joke to say that, you know, not only are you not equal to a Mexican or nigger, you're lower to than a Mexican and nigger, but what they're doing is putting down Mexicans and niggers.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, to tell a joke, you got to say the word nigger.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of funny. It's one of those weird anti-racist jokes.
Cool. I'll have to remember that one.
Yeah.
You're terrible. Are you guys still selling KD Rebel? Back when I heard you presenting that, I thought it was just some sort of Civil War tome. But I read the first 3 chapters at whiterevolution.com, and it's fantastic. So,
we've had KD Rebel for a long time. We have sold it as part of about 4 or 5 other booklets. It's about 60 pages, and if you want it separately, War will sell it to you for $10. Yeah, $10 to War. Send out a copy to anybody who wants one. And it's pretty good, I thought.
Up those gunfire here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, this neighborhood I moved in about 10 years ago, it was mostly older white people, but all the Mexicans have been coming in here. And I guess they have automatic weapons because on New Year's Eve, they shut them all off. I mean, it is like World War III, and it's unbelievable. I'm thinking maybe next year they're going to have bazookas out here. It's like, God. Anyway, thank you.
Well, most people have no idea how dangerous a weapon is, you know, and they're shooting them up in the air, and I know it's either Mexicans, a lot of Mexicans, and drunk Marines.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Marines here, because maybe they're all over there now, I don't know. But anyhow, I know, I just wish they wouldn't do it anymore. I might have to start shooting at them because I don't want my dog jumping all over me in the
bed. Oh, yeah.
Man, I couldn't believe it because I had celebrated New Year's a little early and I was trying to get to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, here comes the dog trying to jump in the bed.
Oh,
he's too big to be in my bed.
Y'all gunshot.
And otherwise, he's fine, but he's scared of that gunshot.
And not only they don't not just New Year's, they do it for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Any Mexican holiday, they do it.
Any excuse they've got, they're going to blow those guns
Cesar
away.
Cesar Chavez's birthday?
Well, you know, the cops, they keep talking about, oh, you can't do that, it's against the law and all that, but I don't think they police the Mexicans at all.
No, it's supposed to be a felony. I don't know about other states, but California, it's a felony to shoot a gun straight up in the air.
Yeah, well, a guy got killed last year.
Yeah.
I forget, it was New Year's or what, it came down and hit him right
in the head. Yeah, that happens not too unseldom. But, you know, they don't ever do anything to them because, you know, well, the cops are really, really PC and stuff. They don't want to be called racist.
Well, they're lazy.
Oh, yeah, lazy, too.
Well, anyhow, now with a shotgun, it wouldn't be so bad.
No.
I've done that a couple of times in years past, but I don't do that crap anymore. But, you know, those little BBs.
Oh, yeah, they spread out.
Well, with a shotgun, they're not going to go that high anyhow, you know. But the point is, I just think people shouldn't do that because it causes you lots of problems, man. Yeah, a big old .45 slug come down on your head.
Yeah.
You're going to know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Besides, I ain't going to waste my ammo. I need it against his enemies.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a now an old dog in this struggle here. I've been in Chamber of Commerce big shot. In this struggle since 70, about 81, 80. Anyway, I read someplace where, I forget the publication, where the baby boomers, the white baby boomers, would spend the last 10 or 15 years of their life running away from the mud flood. Here in Arizona, I see very few white people actually socially integrate with these mestizos. Occasionally, I'll see a young high school white girl with a mestizo, but you don't see too many adult whites socializing with these guys. You go to a bar, and if a Mexican goes in there, nobody even talks to him. They isolate them, and the white barmaid won't even serve them a beer unless they absolutely start yelling, you know. So the love affair with the mestizo.
Yeah, well, that's good if they ostracize them wherever they go, but it don't last forever.
Oh,
but
no.
The minute they learn English and go to school and
join
all
their
that,
churches
and get a job down where you work with the little Lily Mae down at what's one of those department stores? Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's a pretty good guy after all.
That's what the thing is a lot of people mistake culturalism for racism. Is a lot of these whites that don't like the mestizos is because they don't like them because they come from a different culture. It's not because they come from a different race. And once they join the white culture, then they accept them as white people.
Yeah, they don't. Most of the whites don't have much concept of race.
No.
They've never been taught.
Well, you know, the thing that really gets them is because they like soccer and not baseball. That gets under their skin.
Yeah.
Or they don't like basketball.
Yeah.
But once they drop soccer and start liking basketball and baseball, then they're okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the way it goes. The old story is, you put two races side by side, they're going to mix sooner or later. Sooner or later, they're going to mix.
Is there any news about the Northwest Pacific homeland? I haven't heard about that in a long time.
Well, if you send Rabbi Covington a couple of box tops and bottle caps, he might send you information on that.
Well, I've heard that the Gooks are moving in the Northwest, and they're making it their homeland, so I guess it's going on pretty good, except it's not going to be a white homeland. It's going to be a Gook homeland.
Yeah, they must have listened to our propaganda years ago and said,
hey, we can make that our homeland.
That's right.
Five states up there. Let's move.
Yeah, we junked that idea a long time ago.
Yeah.
And if you got money and you can retire, all you conservative, kosher Republicans and like that, and you got an income, hell yes, Northwest is a beautiful place to live.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're a working man, like most of us, it's not a good place because they're just not, Boeing just moved out, didn't they, out of Seattle?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know how they have elephant graveyards? Remember the cars in the elephant graveyard where the elephants go to die?
Yeah.
I think the Northwest is where white people go to die.
Yeah.
You know, they're not making a white homeland. They're just, they're passing the time before they kick the bucket.
I can't wait to hear some of the stories from these people that are listening to Covington and going up there and filling their station wagon or pickup truck with all their goodies. Yeah. They got no job. They got no talents much. And they're going to go up there and say, Rabbi, set us up. Hell, he can't even take care of himself.
Well, he's on Social Security because he gets a check for he's mental. He got kicked out of the military for being a head case.
Oh, and, man.
So he's got an income because he's got Social Security.
Right.
But you go up there, and if you're not mentally ill, you're not going to be like Covington and have a Social Security check come every
month.
Well,
he gets SSI, too, probably. So there you got about $2,000.
Well, you know, he's got to have something wrong with him. If the military said he was a head case and couldn't be in the government. So if the government says defines you as a head case, so in that way they let you get legally government benefits, you've really got to be fucked up because they're trying to screw people out of their benefits, especially white people. So, so he really must be fucked up.
Please don't do that. Don't pick up and move to the Northwest unless you've got an absolute clinched deal for a job and a contract and.
Or you're a head case and can get on Social Security.
Right. If you can get SSI and
disability and
all these disability things and everything, you know, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you got a retirement check coming in all the time. But you know, those retirement checks have a way of disappearing when things hit the fan, you know. Social Security, well, look, they're shipping Social Security checks to 20 nations.
Oh, yeah.
We are shipping, this government is shipping Social Security money to 20 nations. Now, number one, they should not ship Social Security out of this country at all because you need to spend it back into the economy, right? And of course, here now, they're spending most of it at the gambling casinos. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, 95% of the people gambling are senior citizens, blowing their retirement, blowing their Social Security and the whole bit. So, you know, so now they're making a deal with Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what that's going to cost?
Oh, yeah.
To where all the guys come up here, and then they give them amnesty, and all of a sudden they're sort of a citizen, and then they get Social Security, and back to Mexico they go. Why, hell, that's...
Well, you know, that's a pretty scam if you're a Mexican. You come in here illegally, you work a little bit, you get Social Security, you start acting like a goofball, you get the government to say you're crazy and give you SSI, then you go back to Mexico and live like a king.
They're doing it every day. They're doing it every day. And the poor, white, stupid people don't catch on. They're too lazy to do anything, you know.
Tommy, you had some audio shows or old cable shows where you interviewed this goth guy. I think his name was Drek or Shrek or something. He had like a black metal band and would talk about Nietzsche and say things like, you know, we are revolution. And I don't know, it was just very strange, and I thought those interviews were hilarious. So my question is, who is that guy? What was his name? And whatever happened to him? Thanks. Bye.
Well, that was Nicholas Shrek. And on the first show we did with him, he had all his buddies on.
Oh, Werewolf.
The band, And they were funny because they dress all in all dark clothes and they put white powder on their face.
Remember that little when he did Triumph of the Will, that song that he dressed up in the SS uniform and the werewolf? Well, we went to a place in Beverly Hills. It's called White Trash A Go Go. Remember that?
Yeah.
And at the end of the thing, you know, they came out with an SS uniform and a lot of skins and stuff where we started Sieg Heil and stuff. And there was this Jew that tried to jump on stage and said, yeah, I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
And then one of our guys grabbed him and threw him against the bar and stuff like that, and his girlfriend started to, you know, yelling and stuff. And all these other little rich kids from Beverly Hills saw that they were going to get in a fight, so a whole bunch of them started to see how because they didn't want to get in a fight with the skinheads.
It was really something, you know, and it was gothic people, too.
Yeah.
I've been a couple, you know, Death in June, and they all go, and I like Death in June.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all they look like, little Jews,
smiling. Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's the same thing, like I say, the White Trash A Go-Go is we scared all those little rich kids.
Yeah, well, anyhow, that's Nicholas Shrek. Well, his name is not really Shrek.
No.
I forget what his real name was, but he turned out to be a Jew, the son of a big furniture store magnate over in, what's that name of that town up by L.A. With a Z? Encino?
Encino,
Encino, yeah. A lot of Jews in Encino.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow.
He married Anton LaVey's daughter
Zena LaVey. And,
he was really into Manson. He's the one that did that Manson film, and he wrote the book The Manson Files.
Right, and they came to my house one time, and then I went up to their place there in Hollywood once, and that's where they had the coffin in the house.
Yeah.
And they had a big bowl constrictor sliding up and down the banister.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That huge stuff. It was like the Addams Family.
Oh,
the huge stuff.
And then he got his ear bit off, too, by
yeah, a nigger.
Some of a nigger.
Yeah, jumped. Nigger in West Hollywood.
Bit his ear off, and I think he ate the ear.
Yeah, yeah, so some crazy nigger jumped on him and ripped his ear off because he wouldn't give him a dollar.
Well, then Zena, he was married to Zena, and I think they had one kid, maybe two kids. And then they got in a fight with the old
Anton
LaVey
over
the Church of Satan.
Yeah.
And so I don't know whatever happened to that. I guess they're still fighting.
Well, sure.
Well LaVey died.
Yeah.
He died a few years ago.
Yeah. And then,
of course, he was, they said he was part Jew. And
he's worked like 1/8 or something.
He worked for the circus, and he worked for the FBI as a snitch
and
all that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, he let,
was a real con man.
Well, he let Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah,
into the Church of Satan. They keep trying to say it was a white thing.
Yeah.
Well, Sammy Davis didn't look too white to me, man.
Well, a lot of that stuff, though, his celebrity stuff, I don't know how much is true, because, you know, he said that he had sex with Marilyn Monroe and James Mansfield and all this stuff. And,
I doubt that.
And a lot of it, I think he's just a con artist.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why they got along with Manson, because he's a lot like Manson. He's just a bullshit.
Anyhow, those two shows, Race and Reason, they were back in the mid-80s sometime, and we've got them, and I'll give them to you both for $20.
Oh.
$30 or $20. Wait a minute. What did I say?
$20.
$20. $10 a piece. And
they're
real collector's item. There's nothing like them
anywhere.
And their concerts used to be really fun.
Oh, yeah. They were pretty wild.
They had the priestess, the high priestess.
Oh, yeah.
This old lady.
Yeah, that left real God. What was it?
She was dressed all in black.
Yeah.
And what was that? Remember that song? Eva,
come
sit upon my face.
Yeah, yeah. Berlin is burning, but we're still the master race.
Still the master race.
Yeah, it was Triumph of the Will.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, that's the story with that there.
Well, you know where Radio Werewolf got its name from? That was the last broadcast from the Third Reich.
Yeah.
Goebbels basically said that we should drop all this Christianity shit and start the Werewolf Underground. And go back to paganism and just be like an underground heathen army, and that's what the Fourth Reich
was. A little late, wasn't it?
Well, he created the Fourth Reich there. That's what the Radio Werewolf broadcast was.
Yeah.
The creation of the Fourth Reich.
I got a movie about that here that was made in Germany.
Yeah.
Pretty good, yeah. We're running out of tape. Say goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.